Today's Wednesday, right? This is Ayin Macheshvan, and the world is letting us know that today is a marvel, right? And we can't forget. It's been a while since the last flood, but every year it always, somehow Yizayin Cheshvan is uncomfortable. Maybe tomorrow will be a nicer day. In 3 days hence, in 4 days hence, Shabbos, is Chof Cheshvan. Chof Cheshvan is the birthday of the Rebbe Rashab, the Friedrich Rebbe's father. And I'm going to tell you some stories about the Rebbe Rashab and some thoughts about the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab was the Friedrich Rebbe's father. The Friedrich Rebbe is the one who recorded the history of Hasidus Chabad. In other words, we have stories that Hasidim tell about Hasidus Chabad, but it's not that much. The Friedrich Rebbe gives a rather comprehensive historical record of the last 200 years of Chabad Hasidus, and the Rebbe Rashab was his father. And as a result, we know things about the Rebbe Rashab that we know about no other Rebbe, because his own son recorded rather intimate, rather personal details about the Rebbe Nishmas Eden's life that we therefore are privy to know. And it gives us a unique window. In other words, of all the Rebbeim, in an interesting kind of way, we know more about the Rebbe Rashab than any other Rebbe. In a different kind of way, right here. In a different kind of way, if it rolls away, then it'll tumble, roll and tumble. Thank you. In a different kind of way, we know more about the Friedrich Rebbe's life, but in a certain kind of way, we know more about the Rebbe Rashab than anybody else. So I'm simply going to share some stories with you, and I do want to make one avoid the observation. I want to share with you one idea about his personality and his life, and this will be the Fabrengen for this week. The story of the Rebbe Rashab's birth begins before he was born. The Rebbe Rashab was born in Tov Reish Chof Aleph, Shnaf Kisra. He was born at the end of 1860. It was already the new Hebrew year. Chof Aleph was already to 1861, but he was born in November, this time of year, of the year 1860. The year before, on Yutes Kislev, which was 1859, the very end of 1859, his mother, the Rebbe Tzedivke, had a dream. The Rebbe Rashab's mother, the Rebbe Tzedivke, who by this point had at least two children, I suspect three. She had an older daughter. The oldest of the Rebbe Maras children was a woman named Deved Aleya, whose family name was Ginsburg. She married a younger man from a very wealthy family who was also a big chassid, Ginsburg. And then there was also a son named Rab Zalman Aaron de Razor, and there was a wonder child. Rab Manash had a wonder child whose name was Rab Avram Sender. You never heard of Rab Avram Sender? Because Rab Avram Sender passed away at the age of 8. And if you've ever been to Lubavitch, today everybody travels all over the world, so the girls will get to Lubavitch. If you made it here in the rain, you'll get through the Lubavitch mud, and you'll be in Lubavitch, and you visit the Oihelim, or you've seen photographs. So they have pictures of the Oihel of the Rab Manash and the Tzemach Tzedek. And outside the oil, you have two kvarim, two names, the Baruch Shalom, the Tzemach Tzedek's oldest son, and Ayelet Rav HaTzadik Rav Avram Sender. He was one of the Rav Marash's children. He passed away at 8. The Tzemach Tzedek said that he had the neshama of the Alter Rebbe, and that the Alter Rebbe was supposed to live 8 more years, and because of Napoleon, his life was shortened. And this boy, Rav Avram Sender, was a Isaac Ben Chakint. He was Mamash Atzai. He was a holy child. He was sacred. The Friedrich Rebbe describes how he passed away. He called all of his relatives, his father and his uncles and his grandfather. They all stood. He davened mincha and he said Krishna and Vidi with simcha tzuma. His histalkus was like the biggest tzaddik. He was an 8-year-old boy. His name is Avraham Sender. Again, you haven't heard much about him because he never grew up, but he wasn't born a child. And I suppose that Rebbe Rashab was the fourth child. There's a possibility that what I just told you is not 100% correct. There was a boy, Avram Sender, but there's a little bit of a conflict as to when he was born and when he lived. But it seems to me that the Rebbe Rashab was the fourth of the Rebbe Marash's children. So the Rebbe Tzedivke already had two sons and a daughter by this point. And it was Yud Kislev, the 10th of Kislev, which is, of course, the day the Chag HaGaul of the Mittel Rebbe. And she has a dream. In her dream, she sees, if I'm not mistaken, hello, she sees two men, two people, whom she does not recognize. And one of the men tells her, "Du sollst schreiben, was ich verteile, was du hab mag guten Sohn." proceed to write a Sefer Teilim, and you'll have a good child, a good son. And the other one says, Tate, give her a bracha. And says, Father, give her a bracha. And he gives her a bracha, and she wakes up. It was a very, very clear, very living dream. It didn't look like one of those imaginary dreams. And she forgot about it. She didn't tell anybody. 9 days later was Yitzhak Kislev. She has the same dream. I think now she saw more than two people. And again, the same man tells her, And then the other one says, the has for the Zayd is off. You hear what your Zayd is saying? Don't forget, you should write a Sefer Teilim. And they give her a bracha, and she says Amen, and she wakes up. The problem was that the Amen she said audibly. The Amen was out loud. In other words, she said Amen as she's waking up. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning of Yitzhak Kislev, Chatog. The Reb Manash was getting up. The Manash probably didn't sleep too much, so whenever he went to sleep, but he was getting up. And he's about to leave the bedroom, and he hears his wife say, Amen. And he turns around to his wife and says, what's our life with the Amen? She says, nothing, I had a dream. What kind of dream did you have? No, let me hear the dream. So she tells him the dream. The Reb Manash gets very excited and says to her, such dreams you cannot hold secret. Sometimes such a dream can be, could be the most important kind of dream. So 2 o'clock in the morning, the Marash finished getting dressed, and he went straight from his house into the Tzemach Tzedek's house, his father. Tzemach Tzedek and the Marash lived in the same house, separate only by a door. And he went into his father, and he told his father that my wife had already twice the same dream, and he described her the dream. And Tzemach Tzedek asked that she should come herself. So they came to the Rebbe Tzedivka, and you how from the Rebbe Tzedivka was, she probably had to wash Megavas and say brachas, and she had to come over and had to be dressed appropriately. And eventually, she came to her, what the Rebbe is called, the Rebbe the Shved, the Rebbe the Tzemach Tzedek, who was her father-in-law. And Tzemach Tzedek asked her to describe the people that she saw in her dream. So she did. Tzemach Tzedek told her, you saw the Alter Rebbe in the middle of the Rebbe. And I believe that on the other occasion she also saw maybe the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid, but I forget these details, and I must be honest, I didn't look them up, so I don't remember. And the Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek said, you must write a Sefer Teilim. So within a short time, they began to write a Sefer Teilim. The Rebbe Marash, the Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek's son, who was the only Rebbe who acted b'chitzonius like a rich man, even when he was broke, he acted like he was rich. At this point, the Rebbe Marash was not yet a Rebbe. He had a lot of money from investments, and he won a few government lives. The Rebbe Marash had a lot of money. And his hanhaga was hanhaga of Ashiris. He lived like a rich person. Wanted to make a huge event. He sprang to Sefer Teilim, and the Tzemach Tzedek didn't want it so much. And he sort of, Tzemach Tzedek, udenad. And the end was that Tzemach Tzedek allowed him to start the Sefer Teilim in his room. And he didn't even invite all of his brothers. The Sefer came into Tzemach Tzedek's room. He invited one of his brothers, the Rebbe Marash was only, his father led him to invite one brother, the Maril, and they started writing a Sefer Teilim. Okay? 6-7 months pass, and by now the Rebbe Tzedivka is not only pregnant, but she's visibly pregnant, and the Sefer Teilim is almost finished. So the Rebbe Marash says to his father, I want to make a big, big celebration, Sim Sefer Teilim, and all Lubavitch and all the guests, everybody comes to the Rebbe, participate in the Sim Sefer Teilim, and the Tzemach Tzedek said no. When the luchas were given a lot of noise, they were broken. Everything has to be shashtil. Hashkif avetach, quiet. The Rebbe Znifke says to her son, the Rebbe, I was very pregnant at this point, but I got myself together and I sewed the mentele, the beged, the garments of the Sefer Teilim myself. She made it very pretty and so forth. And the Sefer Teilim was almost finished, and the Tzemach Tzedek is not allowing the Siyum to happen. In Lubavitch, they would see Sefer Teilim quite frequently. And when they would see Sefer Teilim in Lubavitch, everybody would come. But here, the Tzemach Tzedek was very hesitant. And one night, 2-3 in the morning, Tzemach Tzedek suddenly calls the Rebbe Marash and says, get the Sefer, we're making the Sefer Teilim now. And the Rebbe Marash says, but there's nobody here. And Tzemach Tzedek said, that's exactly the point. There's nobody here. The Sefer came to the Tzemach Tzedek's room. There were 3 people in the Sefer, the Tzemach Tzedek and the Rebbe Marash. He finished writing the Sefer Teilim. Tzemach Tzedek picked up the Sefer Teilim and he started marching through the deserted streets of 2 o'clock in the middle of the night, Lubavitch. And the Rebbe Marash was holding the chuppah. It's one of the mishachim was holding up a couple of candles. And in Lubavitch there was a shikid, there was a drunk who was laying on the side of the road, very drunk. He opens up his eyes, he sees the Rebbe walking, and the Rebbe's son is holding candles. he thinks he's hallucinating after the duchtacham. He starts pinching himself. No, he's awake and he's sober enough. The Sefer Tzedek is holding the Sefer Torah and walking through the deserted streets of Lubavitch, and there's nobody around. So the next morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, he shows up in shul and says, you know what happened last night? At 2 o'clock in the morning, I see the Rebbe walking with a Sefer Torah under a chuppah, and his son, Reb Shmuel, is holding candles, and there's nobody around. So the people told him he's Meshuggah, Ebduchtach, he's imagining things, but it actually occurred. And Sefer Torah was completed with greatest feast. Finally, on Chof Cheshvin, Tafresh Chof Aleph, Chof Cheshvin, the Rebbe Rashab was born. Of course, right when a baby boy is born, you have to have a bris. 8 days later, it's Zach. Chof Zayin Cheshvin is supposed to be a bris. And the Rebbe Marash finally figured, I couldn't celebrate starting the Sefer Torah. I couldn't finishing the Sefer Torah. At least I'll celebrate the bris. So all of the women in the Beis Harav cooked up a storm to feed the thousands of Hasidim who were in Lubavitch or who came to Lubavitch, especially the Rebbe's making a bris. Everybody came. And of course, at that point, the matriarch, the senior mother in the Beis Harav, was the Tzemach Tzedek Rebbetzin Chaya Mushka, who was going to pass away 2 months later. She passed away in Tevis of that year. But she apparently was pretty healthy at this point. And she was in charge. And she stood in the kitchen, and she arranged all of the people that were helping, all of the daughters and daughters-in-law and granddaughters and granddaughters-in-law. The whole situation was a huge family. Tematetic had a very large family, Kanahara. And they cooked, they must have had some kind of a substantially useful kitchen. They were able to cook for hundreds and hundreds of people. It's about 5:30 in the morning. The Rebbe Tzemach's house is alive with activity. All over the place, people are getting ready for the bris because they had to feed literally thousands of Hasidim. The Tzemach comes out of his room and he sees his granddaughter, Deveira Leah, that I mentioned her name before. She was the Rebbe Rashab's sister, the boy who had to have a bris sister. He calls her over, she must have been 7 or 8, and says, Deveira Leah, Gezog de Tates Heint Vet Nist Zain de Bris. Go tell your father today there's no bris. Okay? So she goes from where she was, from the Tzemach Tzedek's apartment, to her own house to tell her father there's no bris. Who meets her on the way across? Her grandmother, the Rebbe Chaya Mushka. The Rebbe Chaya Mushka knew that the Tzemach Tzedek had interesting games that he played, and she sees her granddaughter going from the Tzemach Tzedek into her apartment, so she stops her and says, Vu geistu? Where are you going? Escape from Tatan. Going to my father. Why are you going to your father? Because the Zayda told me I should tell my father something. What did the Zayda say you should tell your father? The Zayda said I should tell your father that today there's no bris. Rebbe Chaya Mushka was expecting something chokhma like that. She was used to her husband. She was Mitl Rebbe's tochter. Mitl Rebbe had 7 daughters. And they were notoriously outspoken. They were sharp of ruin. They were not soft, they were very powerful personalities. They were tzedekism, but they were very outspoken. They didn't speak in a whisper. She says, Gate three to thy Zayden, go back to your grandfather. You tell him that I said, as a Bas Talmud Chacham, we didn't cook all this food for nothing. The bris is today. So she turns around, she goes back to the Zayden, says, the Baba Gizakt, as she says, she's a daughter of Talmud Chacham. Talmud says, Gate Zog, the Tatas, Hein Tvet Nizan. No. The first time she said, you go back and tell your grandfather today is the bris. So she goes back and she tells the Zayda, the Baba Yizok, Hank is on the bris. So Tzemach Tzedek says, Gezog de Tatis, Hank Fitness, Hank in bris. Go tell your father today is no bris. So again, the Baba cuts her off and says, where are you going? She says, Gate from Tatan, what are you going to tell the father? The Zayda said, there's no bris. She says, go tell your grandfather that I said, as a Bas Tamat Chochem, that today is going to be the bris. I mean, she used to say, Bas Tamat Chochem, the Tzemach Tzedek did not hear you were Bas Tamat Chochem. She was the Mitzvah Rebbe's daughter. Okay, so the bris, sorry? So, thousands of Hasidim in Lubavitch, it's 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, everyone down in the quick shachris. Of course, the moil had already examined the child more than once. The kvate comes in with the baby, the moil opens the baby was yellow as anything. So it was impossible. The child was almost an hour before he was pink, ready for a bris, now he's jaundiced. The Rebbe Chaya Mushka is in the Vaibashul, and she hears, no bris, the baby's jaundiced. She didn't like it at all. And she turns to one of her sons and says, Akunz Fanaya Tatan. Your father pulled off another trick. Akunz. She used to call miracles kunz, tricks, magic tricks. She grew up with her grandfather was a Rebbe, her father was a Rebbe, her husband was a Rebbe, her children were Rebbe. She was surrounded by tzaddikim, and she was herself a tzaddikis. She wasn't impressed. Miracles didn't exactly excite her. Akunz Fanaya Tatan. So no bris. What do you do with the food? Put it in a freezer? There's no freezers in 1860. So it was a feast. Everyone's eating. Tzemach Tzedek actually came and said Chassidus was a Fabrengen, but no bris. When did the bris happen? Chanukah. Who was there? I don't think there was a minion. The same idea. Top secret. The Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek calls the Rebbe Menashe and says the bris is now. Don't call anybody. And the Rebbe Menashe says, but I have to. Somebody by the bris. Can I call my brothers? You can call one. You can call two. The Tzemach Tzedek wanted everything about the Rebbe Rashab's infancy to be very tzniistic. He understood that this was different. And he very much wanted it to be the maximum of tzniyas. And by the bris, the Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek names his grandson Shalom David Bez. Shalom was after Tzemach Tzedek's father, Reb Shalom Shachner. And David Ber was after the Rebbe Tzachai Mushke's father, the Mittel Rebbe David Ber, Shalom David Ber. The Rebbe the Tzemach Tzedek had a custom that when he would give each one of his Einikach a name, along with the name, he gave them a nickname. And this was the name by which Chassidim was supposed to call them. They're not allowed to call them by their names. So he named him Shalom David Ber, and then he said, Bosser Shevet. Rashab, Reishin Beis, Rashab. And he translated, Bosser Shevet. His name was Rashab, Reishin Beis, Reb Shalom Ber, Bosser Shevet. He breaks the flesh, he breaks Kashmir. And the Rebbe Rashab certainly carried that out, there's no doubt about it. This was the Rebbe Rashab's bris. When the Rebbe Rashab was a child, he was never a baby, never a child, never young, never played. If you know the history of Arabayim, some of Arabayim played. And those who played were big troublemakers. I mean, big time. You think when Rebbe, you know, as a child, the Marash had a good time as a kid, the Friedrich Rebbe. But some of our Rebbes were never children. The Rebbe was never a child. The Rebbe was a good thing. The Rebbe Rashab was never a child. The Mittel Rebbe was never a child. So there were different types of Rebbe. The Rebbe Rashab was so serious. From infancy, it was almost frightening to watch him. He had an older brother and sister. And they were also special kids. They were tzaddikim, children of tzaddikim. But they were normal people. And they had this younger brother who at the age of 2 and 3 was pious, like a big tzaddik, and they bothered him. They're saying, I'm chapin. And one of the Rebbe Rashab's early chumdis was kavod es avicha v'simecha, means you have to have respect for your older brothers and your older sisters. So they tormented him. They would make fun of him, they would chapin, because he never would ever give them back. Not because he didn't have what to say, but because kavod es avicha, you have to respect your older brothers and sisters. So whenever they really, really got on his nerves, he would push and cry, like Venin. And there are ribuy sipurim, there are many, many stories about the Rebbe Rashab as a child. I'll just share with you a couple. One of the stories is that they lived in the Tzemach Tzedek's house. Tzemach Tzedek had 7 sons. Each time one of his children got married, he built them a house and a shul in Lubavitch. When the Rebbe Marash got married, because he lost his first wife, she died. And he was remarried and he was very upset about it. So Tzemach Tzedek, instead of building him his own house and his own shul, built him an extension to his house. Tzemach Tzedek and Rebbe Marash lived together. So the Rebbe, the Marash's children, grew up with the Zayde. They lived in the same house with the Rebbe. So the Rebbe Rashab and his brothers and sisters, as little as they were, knew the Tzemach Tzedek better than their older cousins because they lived in the house. One day, the Rebbe Rashab and his older brother, the Razah, were in the Tzemach Tzedek's room. The Tzemach Tzedek's room. They were playing. So the older brother, the Razah, picked up the Tzemach Tzedek's shtraimel and he put it on his head. He was a kid. He took his Zayde's shtraimel and put it on his head. So the Tzemach Tzedek took the shtraimel off the older brother's head and he put it on the younger brother's head and he held him by the shoulders and looked at him and said, Ah, punkt shver. Exactly like my father-in-law. Exactly the Mittel Rebbe, Tzemach Tzedek. He put the shtraimel on the little boy. How old was he? 3 or 4 years old. Said, Ah, punkt shver. There was one occasion where the Rebbe Rashab was playing in the Tzemach Tzedek's room and the Tzemach Tzedek took him and he put him on his lap and he said to him, Besht, my beard, brush my beard. I don't know if you know this, but people who wear beards brush them and comb them because otherwise it would be a disaster. Yechidei Segula, mamish, mamish, special, special people don't touch their beards at all. The Rebbe brushed his beard. The Friedrich ever brushed his beard. The Rebbe Rashab didn't touch his beard. The Rebbe Rashab's beard was never touched. He never touched it because the hair should fall out. So the Tzemach Tzedek, I suppose, probably didn't brush his beard either. But he said to his grandson, comb my beard. And he took his hand, took the Rebbe Rashab, the little boy's hand, and he started to comb his beard, the Tzemach Tzedek's beard, to disentangle, you know, to unknot all the hairs, to make the beard smooth. And he brushed it with his Rameshach's man. And he said, Tzeberst, so did you iron it out? Did you smooth out all the creases and all the knots and so forth? Dachzach Tzeberst, I think you did a good job. And he added, Nadir Ayad in Kabbalah, I'm giving you a hand, an expertise in Kabbalah. When the Rebbe Rashab was a Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab used to say, Ich hab Ayad in Kabbalah, I have a hand in Kabbalah, I have expertise in Kabbalah. And he meant, there was a little boy, mamish, 2 or 3, his Zayder, the Tzemach Tzedek, gave him a Yad in Kabbalah. One more episode I'll share with you about him and the Tzemach Tzedek. The boys, the kids, the Tzemach Marash kids, used to go into the Marash every week, and he would give them money. He would give them money. The last few months of the Tzemach Tzedek's life, that changed. Instead of going in once a week, they went in every day. Every day in the last few months of the Tzemach Tzedek's life, they went in some Zayden, and Zayden used to give him a coin. And there were 2 brothers, an older brother and a younger brother, and they always went in together. Well, one day, the Tzemach Tzedek was very, very, very sick. The house was full of Hasidim saying Tillim and crying. And it was time to go into the Rebbe and get the coin. And the older brother was not there. And the younger brother, the Rashab, wanted to go into the Zayda. And he always waited for his older brother. His older brother wasn't coming. And everybody was pushing in the hallway, and he wanted to go in. So he went in himself. He went in himself, and the Tzemach Tzedek gave him a coin. And that day, the Tzemach Tzedek was nostalgic. That day, the Tzemach Tzedek passed away. That night, right after the talk of the Tzemach Tzedek, even before the Levaya, the Reb Marash ran looking for his older son. And he found him. And he said, Bist du rein zum Zeden? Did you go into your grandfather today to get a coin? He said, I was too late. The Rashab, the younger brother, went alone. So the Rebbe Marash said excitedly, Wo bist du gewesen? Er hat ihm alles abgegeben. Why weren't you there? He gave everything to him. The younger brother got it all. So the Rebbe gave him alles abgegeben. One last story I'll tell you in Gesandte Meisele. The Rebbe Rashab had a nanny. I told you, the Rebbe Marash lived in a shidistic way, in a wealthy way, and he had nannies to take care of his children. So the Rebbe Rashab had a nanny. How old was he? He was 3 years old, maybe. She was a goy. She spoke Yiddish for sure, but she was a goyter. And the Rebbe Rashab wanted to go into the Zayda, to the Tzemach Tzedek. The hall was full of people. And the Rebbe Rashab knew the halacha that a woman is not allowed to walk between 2 men, and that a man is not allowed to walk between 2 women. So he pushed her against the wall, so you stand against the wall, and he stood between her and all the rest of the Hasidim, and they crept along the wall till they came to the room with Tzemach Tzedek. The way the story is told, he pushed her, he said, you stay here, I'm going in alone. It was a 3-year-old, they understood, to the Rebbe you go alone. And he came into the Tzemach Tzedek. And the Tzemach Tzedek turned to his grandson and said, Vos villain they for me? What do they want from me? Why don't they leave me alone? All I want to do is learn Torah. Why are these people coming to bother me? So the Rebbe Rashab said, Zayde, is an Yekumen head in Torah. They came to hear Torah. So the Tzemach Tzedek said, Torah is nicht meine. Torah is an Eibishtin. Torah doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Hashem. What if they come to me? Anybody can learn the Torah. So the little boy said to his Zayde, Zayde, Zog ze as the hosnish came Torah, and they from dir ant leven. Zayde, tell them you have no Torah, and they'll run away from you. So the Tzemach Tzedek got his message, you have Torah and you have to share it. Then, when the Rebbe Rashab was 5 and a half, his father became a Rebbe, the Marash. And of course, you know the standard Chof Cheshvan story is in the Hayyem Yayim, that he went into the Tzemach Tzedek and he cried, how come Hashem doesn't reveal himself to him? The stories that you know I'm not telling you, I'm just telling you stories you don't know. And there are Rebbe Sipurim, there are many, many stories of the Rebbe Rashab as a young boy during his father's Nesias. One of the interesting pieces of history was that the Rebbe Rashab had an older brother, Azor, Rav Zalman Aaron, who was also a very great man, a very big Gaon and a big Chosid, a brilliant man, a genius of geniuses. But he wasn't a Rebbe and he knew it. There was no politics. There could have been politics, but there wasn't any, because their older brother knew, my younger brother's a Rebbe and I'm his Chosid. But when they were children, they played like kids. What was their game? They played Rebbe and Chassid. They grew up in a Rebbe house, Rebbe and Chassid. The Rebbe Rashab always used to say, Ich will nicht sein kein Rebbe. When he was so little, he couldn't even say an R. He couldn't say a Rebbe. He used to say, Ich will nicht sein kein Rebbe. I don't want to be a Rebbe. A Rebbe is eine. Chassidim sein in Asach. There's only one Rebbe. And there's many Hasidim. A Yebe is never chalomi. It's not fun to be a Yebe. And the Rebbe is Mesayim turned out to be a Yebe. Well, his mom is a little in there. I don't want to be a Yebe. I want to be a Chassid. Because there's only one Yebe and there's many Hasidim. The Rebbe is Mesayim. He's a special child. I was just going to mind like him. He wasn't ordinary at all. So he played Rebbe and Chassid. The older brother was the Rebbe and the younger brother was the Chassid. Couple of problems. The Rebbe Rashab was taller than his older brother. He was physically taller than him. And the Razal was very self-conscious. He was very disturbed that his younger brother was taller than him. It really bothered him. So one day they were playing kind of a game. And he told the Rebbe Rashab that they should walk on a hill. And the Rebbe Rashab should walk lower than him. So because they were on some kind of a hill, he was taller than his brother because his brother was lower than him. And the Rebbe Marash saw the game that they were playing, that the older brother made the younger brother walk on a lower place so that he should be taller than him. So he called him in. He called him the older brother. And he told him to get up on a chair. So he stood up on a chair. He said, "Oh, Ista Mr. Heche. Now you're taller." And he said, "Nit ba machin yenim nidrike vet min heche. You don't become bigger by making somebody else smaller. You want to be bigger? Lift yourself up." The Marash told his son, "You don't make yourself bigger by putting somebody else down. Make yourself bigger by lifting yourself up." One of the famous stories was, they used to play Rebbe and Chassid, and the Rebbe Rashab was a Chassid, he would come to his brother the Rebbe. And the Rebbe Rashab had real problems. The Rebbe was 4 or 5 years old, he had Grace Avedis, you know, he came to his Rebbe for a tikkun. So one story was, he came once to his older brother the Rebbe, with a problem, with a Avodas Hashem problem. And he came in to him and said, "I did this and this wrong, I need a tikkun, I need to help me fix it." So the Razor told him what to do, to say, tell him to go to mikvah, I don't care what. So the Rebbe Rashab says, "You're not a good Rebbe. You're not a good Rebbe. You failed. You're not a good Rebbe." So the Rebbe said, "What did I do? I gave you great advice." So the little boy, the Rebbe Rashab, said to his brother, "A Rebbe, eider gitanent ve giter aknecht." A Rebbe, before he answers the question, sighs. "Ah, and you didn't sigh. You're not a good Rebbe," the Rebbe Nishma said. This is the story. Now, they grew up, but yigdilu hanorim. These two brothers were both very special kids. They were the pride of Lubavitch. Everybody prided themselves in these two brothers. They were brilliant. The Razal, the older brother, was much more social, much more precocious. He was much more friendly and available. A genius of geniuses. They tell a story how one time he met some big politician or even a king who was testing the brilliance of Razal. So they got 15 people to read 15 newspapers in 15 different languages at the same time. And Razal repeated what each one said. You know what kind of mind that is? 15 people reading 15 different things at the same time, and he repeated it all back, word for word. It was not normal. He was a son of a Rebbe and a brother of a Rebbe, but he wasn't a Rebbe. The younger brother was, the Rebbe Rashab was very secretive, extremely to himself. Never socialized, was never around. In fact, he didn't even go to Fabrengen's. He used to say to the three Yedikei Rebbe, "When I was young, I didn't go to Fabrengen's because I was busy learning Hasidus, and I had no time for the room of Hasidus." He says, "It's not fair," Rebbe Rashab used to say. "It's not fair that because I was busy learning Hasidus, I lost the special quality that comes from the stories, from the Sipurim that you get from the room, from what's called Shimush Shel Teda, that supports the Teda Hasidus." The Rebbe Rashab used to say, I'm deficient in this area because I was so busy learning, I have no time to sit by Chassidus of Fabrengen's." Understandably, when his father, the Rebbe Marash Fabrengen's, he was present, but when Chassidus of Fabrengen's, he was never around. He was always busy learning and davening. He was a holy child and a holy young man. His mother used to say, "I can tell you one thing about my son. He's a Kaddish mibeta nu mileda. He's holy from conception and from birth. He was never, ever a normal person. He was sacred from the first moment of his life." And there was a big problem. The Rebbe Marash wanted to tutor his younger son, but he didn't want the older brother to be jealous. The older brother was also a special person, but he wasn't that Rebbe. And the connection that the Rebbe Marash had with the younger son was much greater than the connection he had with his older brother, because the younger son was the Rebbe to be, the Rebbe Rashab. So they had a system. The Rebbe Rashab used to go into his father in the middle of the night. His yechidus was 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 in the morning. His father used to say to him, in mitternacht, it was 12 o'clock. Bahashkoma was 2 o'clock in the morning. Fartog was 4 o'clock in the morning. In der free was 6 o'clock in the morning. But the Rebbe Marash time was very precious. And his days always started very early. And he would say to the Rebbe Rashab, of Sarankum Banach, Sarankum Fatov, Sarankum Bashkama. And the Rebbe Rashab already knew what that meant, and he was always seeing that his older brother was asleep. So the Razan never knew how deeply connected his younger brother, the Rebbe Rashab, was with the Rebbe Marash. They were very, very sensitive to his covet. Now, let's talk about his wedding. The Rebbe Rashab married a first cousin. The shidduch was made by the Tzemach Tzedek. When he was 4 years old, they made a shidduch, and the tnoim of that shidduch is, we have a copy of it, that the chassan's father, that the Rebbe Marash, gave 1,000 rubles for the couple, and the kala's father gave 1,000 rubles for the chassan, for the couple, and the Tzemach Tzedek says, I'm giving also 500 rubles for the couple. And the wedding was scheduled for 10 years later, Tzalf Reish Lamed Hei, when the Rebbe Rashab was about 14 years old, which was normal. So the mitzvah was a year earlier, the lady got married. When it came time for the wedding, the Rebbe Marash wanted the wedding to be in Lubavitch. And the Rebbe Marash's brother, whose name was Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, the Friedrich Rebbe was named after his maternal Zayde, wanted the wedding to be in Avruch, where he lived. He was a Rebbe, he was a Chernobyl Rebbe, he married the daughter of Yaakov Zalcher Kasset. In other words, the Tzemach Tzedek had a son who became a non-Chabad-like Rebbe, and he wanted the wedding to be where he lived. And the Rebbe Marash was very disappointed, and he argued and negotiated, and his brother wouldn't budge. And he said to his brother these words, Ich gib dir a chosn, was lo jem chu posse es erreiner ve yankev avid. Und du kwenkels mit mir wegen mokka makala. I'm giving you a chosn, who's going to his chuppah purer than yankev avinu. Purer, more holy than yankev avinu. And you're arguing with me about where the wedding is going to be? But the wedding took place in Avruch. And the Rebbe Marash did not go to the wedding. He stayed in Lubavitch. And the official reason that's brought is that he wasn't healthy enough, but I think there were other reasons. Because the physical wedding took place in Avruch, I think, this it doesn't say, but my suspicion is, there was a spiritual wedding in Lubavitch. The Marash went with his son part of the way, and there's a lot of stories that occurred during the trip, how they stopped in every train station, and the Rebbe Marash said chassidus, and they wanted to arrest the Rebbe Marash, and the Rebbe Marash took out a paper, and the police chief almost had a heart attack when he saw the Rebbe Marash's privilege. He had a status of privilege in Russia because the king himself gave him a status of honorary citizen. And then the Rebbe Marash went back to Lubavitch. And the Rebbe Rashab went on to the wedding with his mother and one of the Misharsim of the Rebbe Marash. The Rebbe Marash said to his Misharis, his servant, he said to the Rebbe Rashab, Ashtraimu trokstu nor in Lubavitch. A shtraimer, you only know about it. You can go to your chuppah with a hat. And he said to his servant, he says, my brother is going to want to put on a shtraimer on my son in the middle of the chuppah. In other words, the Rebbe Rashaba, his chuppah is obviously going to be in a state of dveikus. He's going to be in a different world. And the mechutn is going to want to put a shtraimer on him. You're to run over, grab the shtraimer, and put on a shlape. He's not going to wear a shtraimer outside Lubavitch. On kachave, in the middle of the chuppah, the Avrucha took out a shtraimel and he took off the Rebbe Rashab's hat and he put on the shtraimel. The Meshadus ran over, he was prepared, he grabbed the shtraimel. Imagine, Arev Zachuppah, and he put on the hat and he went in the Shema Brachas in Avruch. He wasn't wearing a shtraimel. That week, there was a huge chassan in Lubavitch. Thousands, hundreds of chassidim came, and in 1 week, the Rebbe Marash said chassidus 32 times. The wedding took place in Avruch. And the Rebbe Marash stayed in Lubavitch and had his own wedding. He said 32 times chassidus. When the Rebbe Rashab came back to Lubavitch with his new kaleh, the Marash says to him, Ichab fadir alev meivin. Lev, lamed beiz, which means heart, is also 32. Ichab fadir alev meivin, an understanding heart. Agris von taten. Regards from my father. The Rebbe Marash says, Ichab agris von taten. And I guess it's my assumption that the Rebbe Marash stayed in Lubavitch because the Tzemach Tzedek was in Lubavitch. Agris von taten, regards from my father. And the Rebbe Rashab lives in Lubavitch. Right. Any case, two more things I'll tell you. One is, the Rebbe Marash passed away, the Rebbe Rashab was 21 years old, almost 22. And he was devastated. The father, passing away, his father, only 47 years old. And he was shaken to his core. He was very upset. And immediately there was a discussion, who's the next Rebbe? The oldest son was 23, the youngest son was 21. I mean, the Mamish kids. A lot of people left Lubavitch. They went to other Hasidus. But a handful, a haifa, remained loyal to Lubavitch. And it became a whole to-do, who's the next Rebbe? And the older brother kept on saying, I'm not a Rebbe, he's the Rebbe. The older brother, the Razor, The Rebbe Rashab once said about his older brother, even I don't understand the measure of his anivus, his humility. He accepted his younger brother as his Rebbe with so completely, with such a bittel. He did everything in his power to see to it that his younger brother should be Rebbe, to the extent that he moved away from Lubavitch, he left. And he would say, I'm not the Rebbe, he's the Rebbe. And there's an Ibn Sipurim, there's a lot of stories. I'll just tell you one story. A Yid is traveling on a train. I heard this story from Rabbi Fuchs in Langesund. He heard it from Rabbi Chacha Fagin. Rabbi Chacha Fagin told him a name, but he forgot the name. That a Yid, a businessman, was traveling on a train. And businessmen travel second class, right? Who travels first class? Schnutters and nobility, right? Second class is the business class. The Rebbe Rashab was about, it was a few years after this talk, this traveled second class. This businessman also traveled second class, and he sees a Yid, a young man, dressed like a seichet, like a merchant, on the same car with him, sitting and reading and writing. So he goes over to him and says, Shalom Aleichem. He starts to talk to him. From Ante Zayid, where are you from? From Lubavitch. Ah, from Lubavitch. I hear that from Lubavitch has a lot going on. The Rebbe passed away, and there's a lot of discussion who's going to be the next Rebbe, the older one, the younger one. But I have my sources, as I know from inside information, that the younger one is going to be the Rebbe. What can you tell me about the younger brother? So this Seichet tells him, Was er is, is it. Aber zum Taten kommt er nicht. He is whatever he is, but he's not his father. Train. Kippet, a couple of stops later, this young man gets off the train. The Seichet looks out the window, and he sees that there's hundreds of Yidden standing in the train station to be makabel upon him, somebody. So he goes out of the train. He's curious, which important person has just arrived? And he goes over to somebody and says, what are you all doing here? The Rebbe is gekommen. Who's the Rebbe? The young man that he just had that conversation with is the Rebbe. Oh. So he went back on the train. He took all of his belongings and he got off the train. And he made a yechidus with the Rebbe Rashab. And he went to the Rebbe Rashab. And I suppose he apologized for his being so cordial, friendly. And the Rebbe Rashab came over and said nothing. And he asked the Rebbe Rashab business advice. Rebbe Rashab was 22, 23 years old, and the Rebbe Rashab gave him business advice, and the advice was gevaldik. He made a lot of money, so he became a Lubavitch chassid. He used to travel to Lubavitch, and he told this story. I gotta go. I want to say one thing to you, girls. We don't know anything about Arabeim. They were very holy people, and they were very great people. But one thing we know about the Rebbe Rashab, in a way that we perhaps don't know about any other Rebbe, maybe except the Alter Rebbe. The Rebbe Rashab was such an oivid. He worked so hard on himself. He was so mean to himself. His expectation of himself, the measure of perfection and exactness that he demanded of himself, was unbelievable. He was always a work in progress, and there was a perpetual brokenness, a constant sense of zerbrochenkeit in the Rebbe, that when you met him, the Rebbe Rashab was a melech, was a king. He was a legend in his lifetime. During his lifetime, the world, Chassidim Misnagdim, revered the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab was carried on a silver platter by the whole of Klal Yisrael. There was tremendous derechers to the Rebbe Rashab. As much as people have time to say the Rebbe to the Fiyadiki Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab is revered by everybody. And he was during his physical lifetime. He was a broken man. He always wanted to serve Hashem a little more, a little better. You know, and I'll finish with this story. My boss is going to have kindness to me. The Rebbe Rashab was before Bar Mitzvah. Before Bar Mitzvah, okay? But before Bar Mitzvah is little. And the Rebbe Marash, his father, called him in. And he told him that the Eibishter creates different kinds of neshamas, different kinds of souls. He creates what's called neshamas pratiyas, private souls. And certain neshamas that are called neshamas klolius, that they are collective souls. They belong to everybody. And then the Rebbe Marash said to his son, to the Rebbe Rashab, Dein Neshama is von Zweiten Zug. He told his before Bar Mitzvah Ingele, your Neshama is from the second category. In other words, I want you to know you're a Rebbe. So the Fiyadiki Rebbe says, my father told me the story. And he said that when I heard from my father the words, Dein Neshama is von Zweiten Zug, it was before Bar Mitzvah, that his Neshama is a Rebbe's Neshama, a pain, a deep, sharp pain shot up from the bottom of his back to the top of his back. And that pain didn't leave him till the day he passed away. He had that chronic backache, kol yimechad. The pain of the awareness that he's a Rebbe haunted him his whole life. And he said to the Friedrich Rebbe, Habach sich meyashim kevese. So I asked myself, what am I going to do? He's a 12-year-old boy. What am I going to do? When ich hab machlik gewesen, I decided, as ich darf onleben ton mit sich, I have to work on myself. Hab ich dure gelernt im Shulchan Aruch mit alle Yeshemim. I learned the Shulchan Aruch with every opinion, every chumre. And the Rebbe Rashab said he trained his body to do a Shulchan Aruch instinctively. The Rebbe Rashab did what says in Shulchan Aruch without thinking. His body naturally did what says in Shulchan Aruch. And there's a story about that also, but I'll tell you that at a different time. Okay, good night, girls. I'm just going to ask you to let me leave first.
Thank you very much.